the son of Scrabble. It's interesting that, you know, the most important question for everybody is, what is the Basel guidance called?
As a starting point.
to actually hear people using the term Scrabble all over the world is quite an interesting aspect of what this paper has to say. So I'm calling it the son of Scrabble. We know it's going to say credit risk, it's going to say accounting, and it's going to say expected credit loss. How we put those acronyms, those words together to create an acronym that people can decide how they like to say it, I don't know if I ever want to go there. But anyways, we have very good news. We have been diligently working since receiving the comments on some edits. The key thing, I think, is that we received in the comments very strong support for Basel to produce the guidance, and so we will. We will continue to keep the bar high. The editing is mostly in terms of making sure that those who had read the document to be unreasonable would be able to see words that ensure that it is reasonable. We'll be adding a section on materiality, on proportionality. We'll recognize that the accounting standard is symmetrical. The accounting models are symmetrical. But for regulatory purposes, of course, we're more concerned about credit deterioration. So we'll be factored in that. The guidance continues to be in two pieces. Principles that apply regardless of the accounting model, and then a specific appendix for IFRS 9. Because our key goal is to ensure we don't contradict standards, accounting standards, we will ensure that the ISB and FASB are okay with the paper, and have some indication of that in the final paper. Again, there's no effort in this guidance to create a converged accounting solution, nor is this an attempt to move anyone to a full lifetime model. It's simply to talk about principles about credit risk and what needs to be done for accounting for expected credit losses. The paper will apply to internationally active banks. So I had a question yesterday at the conference about what about standardized banks. Standardized banks are not usually internationally active banks. Most internationally active banks are on an advanced IRB approach. So what will happen for standardized banks will have to be done at a jurisdictional level. Basel is focused on the internationally active banks. We'll emphasize the importance of reading the guidance holistically and keeping to the spirit of IFRS 9 and not taking legalistic interpretations. We're going to continue to emphasize the need for forward-looking information, and we have a new section that explains what we think of as forward-looking information. We're continuing to talk about the need for the adequacy of the allowance, as we heard today. If you are looking at the allowance from an individual perspective, if you can't incorporate forward-looking information, you've got to be thinking about it from a collective perspective. We are continuing to provide some information on how we look at factors you should consider in significant increases in credit risk for the move from stage one to stage two. And we will be emphasizing how important it is to use your expert credit judgment, that this standard is talking about measurement uncertainty, and this isn't something that can be perfectly accurate. And that we accept that, and we appreciate it, and therefore it'll be important to have experienced credit judgment as a key aspect of your models. We're definitely going to continue on in our conceptual paper, consultative paper, where we said we are limiting the practical expedience. As I mentioned earlier, Pablo said as well, the Basel Committee thinks that internationally active banks shouldn't be using past due information as the only indicator, that there is an ability within the standard with the statement of undue cost and effort for an internationally active bank to consider forward-looking information and not rely just on past due status. We have reduced our requirements around disclosure. We're continuing to emphasize the principles of disclosure, but we're not setting any new disclosure requirements. We'll leave that for standard setters, EDTF, and potentially Pillar 3, which is Basel's disclosure effort. That all being said, where we are is the guidance has been revised. It is going to the Basel Committee next week. We're hoping for approval, and then it will go to the standard setters for their concurrence that we have not contradicted the standards. And the objective is to get publication earlier than the end of the year. So hopefully that's helpful for everyone.
Thank you. Anybody got any questions for Karen while we've got her on the spot? I think everybody will be pleased to see the final version before the end of the year to help them with implementation. Okay.